Yeah, we're screwed. We're screwed. We're screwed. We're screwed.
Oh, that's a nice start to the day. Why? What's happening?
Well, this is a bad day, actually.
For what?
Well, you know, we're basically bear market players here on Le Frick Show. And our positions are all pretty much under attack at this point. We're taking hits. You know, we have to share with our viewers both the ups and the downs. In this case, other people's downs are our ups. But this is a day when actually our positions are looking bad. For example, most prominently, the U.S. dollar, you know, is rallying. The U.S. dollar is on a tear, moving on the upside. And not only are we taking a bath on this position, but so is Warren Buffett.
Yes, tell me about this. Well, and also you're going to have to explain why on earth it is on a tear.
Yeah, well, you know, Warren Buffett started to make negative bets against the dollar, oh, I don't know, a year ago, I suppose, when the dollar was at 122, 123 against the euro, in around that area. Mm-hmm. His thesis at that time was that there were these huge global imbalances, that the U.S. was a country without a savings rate, the U.S. was carrying huge debts, and the U.S. was beholden to China to serve those debts, and the U.S. economy was on the brink of a catastrophe. So he made billions of dollars worth of negative bets against the U.S. dollar. And we learn now from the Berkshire Hathaway latest quarterly report that Warren has covered some of these bets. And if I remember correctly from yesterday's news, he took approximately a $900 million loss on his currency position. And he still has billions of dollars worth of contracts out there that he's working with, making these long-term negative bets. As he says, they're long-term. But, you know, he got out of his bad position in a hurry relative to Warren Buffett, who says his holding period is forever. I noticed that when the heat started to come up hot on his declining anti-U.S. dollar position, he jumped out pretty quick. But such is the nature of the currency markets. Such is the nature of the commodities markets. You know, this is why George Soros is George Soros and Warren Buffett is Warren Buffett. It seems like Warren Buffett was veering into George Soros's type of expertise. And maybe, as brilliant as Warren Buffett is, maybe he's not the best commodities trader. I think also, if I'm not mistaken, he took a big position in silver, was it a year ago or so, and I'm not sure he made too, that didn't work out incredibly well for him either. So as a stock picker, it seems like this is where his areas of expertise is. But anyway, so we've been recommending, you know, going back really 5 years, we started buying the euro at the 85, 89 cent range. So net-net, we are not really as bad off as Warren Buffett because he came in at the 122 range. So our longer-term recommendations are still actually in the black. But there is now a feeling that the U.S. dollar has room to run on the upside, driven by a couple of things. Number one, interest rate differentials. In other words, you can get more on your money holding dollars in terms of the interest rates that pay on dollar-denominated assets than you can on assets like your basic euro. So this is driving a lot of people into the dollar. We've got the short-term speculators are holding dollars, but the longer-term managed money accounts have not really gotten squared into the dollar, positioned into the dollar yet, so there's a lot more buying yet to come, apparently, into the dollar. And you also have a lot of distress in Europe. You know, you've got the elections in Germany that have resulted in a bit of a standoff with no party really emerging a clear victor. And you also have riots in Paris, riots in France, all over France. The youth is rioting because of their non-inclusion in society in France. And this is putting pressure on the euro as well. And remember, it wasn't too long ago, a few months ago, Italy said that they wanted to completely get out of the euro. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of negative sentiment now clustered around the euro. the euro is taking a hit. And those who have been buying euros are bailing out. And I think you might have a bit of a capitulation here, which could be give us an indication of what the damage is going to be. But nevertheless, it is going against the basic Karma Bank recommendation going back a couple of years, which is that the gross trade imbalances and huge account deficits carried by the U.S. economy would be detrimental. Oh, let's see who that is. Yeah. So just having my newspapers over there on the couch. I had them here a moment ago.
That was a magic trick.
Wasn't it fantastic? So that's what's going on with the dollar. You know, plus it appears as though the U.S. dollar is holding up as a storehouse of value. People are putting money into dollars, even with the troubles that we see in the Iraq situation degrading, Bush presidency, his popularity numbers hitting all-time lows, with costs spiraling out of control. All these things are not undermining the popularity of the dollar, because as bad, this is the basic underlying thesis here, as bad as the U.S. appears to be, it's still better than the rest of the world.
Well, okay, is this price move then partly because of Warren Buffett's move? Is everybody thinking, you know, that this is like a short squeeze? They know it's rallying because he's going to have to buy a bunch of dollars. And it doesn't make sense in light of the deficit is still going up, both the budget and the trade deficit in America. And apparently next year it's going to be 7% of GDP rather than just 6%. And the OECD just warned last week that never, ever in the history of any of these Western countries covered in the OECD has there been a deficit so giant without a major devaluation of the currency.
Okay, so repeat that number again for our listeners. And I'm very interested to hear what you say, because as you know, I bought a bunch of euros recently for my own personal account. This is why I have tears running down my face. What was that again you say? It sounded almost bullish.
The OECD has said that they've never had anybody in their countries that they've covered go over 6% of GDP budget deficit, trade deficit, without having to resort to major devaluation of their currency to cover it, ever.
Right. So the Organization for European CD.
Economic Development and something like that, OECD. It's a European think tank that covers all these Western countries. But now, so nobody's, the only way out of it, they say, is to a major devaluation.
Yeah.
And there's no other way. I mean, America is an older country now relative to China and India's economies. And they have a relatively uneducated population compared to China and India are throwing a lot of money into education now, whereas America is retracting from education. And the numbers don't add up. Also, it's the fourth month running that Americans have a negative savings rate.
Right.
That hasn't happened since the Great Depression, when it was only for 1 month that there was a negative savings rate.
I like what you're saying. I like what I'm hearing.
So it just doesn't add up. And we know that the American government at this point in time is intervening heavily in the markets. They're protecting the dollar, and they're also holding down the gold market.
All right, before we get into gold for a second, let's just look at this dollar. So the dollar versus the euro has rallied from 122 to 118. This is the dollar rally. So just for the sake of fun and games here, do you see the this rally in the dollar? It's at 118. It's heading higher. Do you see it hitting a peak here or continuing?
Well, it depends on what the insiders think, how much Warren Buffett is going to have to buy.
So you think he's the linchpin in this whole...
He's the second richest man in the world. He must be one of the biggest traders in the world. So they must think, you know...
He swings a big stick. Yeah. I mean, in terms of the press and his pop and his attention, he's probably not got the huge... He definitely is a leader.
But so, he was so vocal about his euro purchases.
Yeah, yeah.
So the fact that insiders probably were tipped off way faster than anybody else who looked at the quarterly report must have seen Buffett's buying is covering his positions.
Yeah, well, it's disclosed in their quarterly report.
But somebody must have taken the order. Somebody must have seen that he was doing this as well.
Yeah, of course.
So maybe they just think that he's got a lot of positions to cover.
Okay, well, let's move on for a second and see what the guru Stacy has to say. So you think that the dollar rally is not going to be long-lived and that the basic bear case for the dollar will reassert itself at some point?
Yeah, plus, you know, America has a central bank which denies that inflation is happening. So people and apparently, I've read that actually traders believe these numbers, or they take faith in them.
Well, yeah, that's what you know what Rumsfeld said: you go to war with what you're given. Remember?
Okay.
So traders go into the trading pits with the numbers that they're given.
Okay.
So they have to assume that these are the numbers that the government's issuing, so they trade around these numbers.
They say, the government says inflation is relatively benign. However, Americans, for the fourth month running, are negative savings. And they're doing that not because they're buying cars, we know this, not because they're buying extravagant holidays, we know this. They're doing it because they need to pay for their health care and their basic expenses, like utilities.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I just don't think, I think there's going to be a tipping point very soon. My personal opinion, I am not an expert seasoned analyst.
Well, I think
such
nobody,
as yourself.
Well, I'm just, nobody, as markets have a knack for making the most people wrong at any given moment.
Warren Buffett.
Right. You know, he's a guy who's out totally reevaluating his position. Let's look at the 10-year government bond market for a second, because, you know, for a while, there was this talk that no matter how many times Greenspan raised the discount rate, the government long-term market was failing to reflect those rises in interest rates by having lower prices.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the so-called conundrum that was mystifying.
Yes.
And one of the conclusions was that the Chinese were guilty of creating this conundrum by having a savings glut.
That was Ben Bernanke's theory.
That was one of his theories. But now the long-term 10-year government bond market is having a yield rally, which is the same thing as saying the prices are coming down to reflect these higher interest rates. So that now finally, after 12 or 13 straight rate hikes, bond market, the 10-year bond market is now reflecting this this adverse interest rate environment for bonds, and now there is talk that the bond market and the bond investment area, which has been so great really for 10, 15 years, is starting maybe to finally reverse itself, and we're in for almost a 1994 type of period where you've got a major down move in bond markets, I would say. So that from 1994 to the present, there's been a bit of a rally, but now it looks like they're reversing itself.
Okay, I don't really understand the bond market too well.
Yes, it's tricky business because of the inverse relationships between interest rates and prices.
I was never good at inverse relationships. I don't know why.
Well, you know, I'm never good at any kind of relationships. I'm a failure.
Now you warn me. All these years later.
I thought that was pretty obvious. It's not? Okay. Well, let's move on to the oil price.
Mm-hmm.
Oil prices, which are now below $60, which is anti-inflationary.
Mm-hmm.
And this is giving a fillip to stock prices around the world. Do you think this is a trend now? You think oil prices have peaked and we're heading for lower prices, or do you think this is just a pause toward a resumption again toward higher prices?
Well, after listening to Jeremy Leggett, who was a geologist for BP for 12 years, and Shell, I believe, and then was head of Greenpeace for a while in the UK, and now is a writer and a entrepreneur. He gave a lecture, a speech, a presentation at Frankfurt, in which he says that almost every single geologist, oil geologist in the world, says that peak oil is about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Oil companies say it's another 20 years, 25 right. years.
Well, some are carrying estimates of up to 40 years
yeah.
before you have peak oil.
But even remember the guy from Shell was there on the panel with him, and he said their theory is 25 years from now.
Right. And but Jeremy Leggett, looking at the from a geologist's point of view, yeah. saying peak oil is coming in the next 3 to 4 years.
Yes, and that by in the next 5 to 10 years, I mean, right now we're at, what, 90 billion barrels a day, 90 something crazy like that?
No, I think it's 90 million barrels a day. Not billion, maybe million use.
Okay, whatever it is. If anybody out there knows, email us, because I think America imports like 25 million a day, right? So it must be, yeah. Okay, so anyway, it's supposed to be like double in the next 10 years on current trends.
Yeah, well...
And there have been no major oil fields. The last big oil field found was in the 50s.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so you're saying oil prices, this is interesting, oil prices are taking a pause before they make another assault at the all-time high, adjusted for inflation, that would be $80 a barrel.
Yeah.
And got bond prices are now starting to reflect higher inflationary expectations.
Mm-hmm.
So those two things, you put those back into your dollar analysis, and you come back and say that they can only exacerbate U.S. trade deficits and current account deficits. So it can't be good for the dollar in the longer term, in the medium to longer term.
Yes.
So this dollar run looks like an aberration in a longer bear market trend.
Yes.
Okay.
I think so.
That's our conclusion.
But that's my instinct.
Yeah.
And my instinct could be just as valid as Warren Buffett's.
Well, markets run, you know, a great deal on instinct. That's part of what people are discovering about economics and markets. And this is what the last Nobel Prize from a couple of years ago was given out to something called behavioral economics.
Yeah.
It's inputting psychological factors into price movements. And a lot of that has to do with psychology.
Mm-hmm.
So instincts are as really a part of these markets as hardcore analysis. And good traders look at the follow their instincts more than they would really follow the black and white research reports, because the black and white research reports, all that data is already reflected in the current price.
Okay.
So if you're trying to find which way the price is going to go from what's already known about that price, you would have to rely on instincts, and that's a complete subjectivity.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, how much time we have left in our show? I hear there's a major argument going on in the hallway outside of our flat.
It could be some of these rioting youths arguing with the police. You know, it went on again last night, apparently.
Yeah.
More policemen injured, 10 more injured. But we have about 2 minutes if you want to wrap up with something.
Well, Paul Krugman today in the New York Times is saying that the only thing that keeps America from having universal health care is pride and prejudice. And he breaks it down. And
that's what we say.
Yeah, pride in that America would have to accept that foreign territories or other countries have a superior health care management system, universal health care, than they do. So they'd have to swallow their pride and say, well, you know what, maybe the way that we do it isn't working. And, you know, it's come to the point now where the number of people who are not covered by health, who don't seek a doctor's help, who don't take their prescription drugs because they can't afford it, is becoming embarrassingly depraved.
He says 40% of Americans go without filling their prescriptions at some point or another because they can't afford the cost.
Wow, that's amazing.
It's insane.
Yeah, Well, I guess we can talk about this more perhaps tomorrow.
That's a good idea.
On this show, as well as some more about the action on global warming, which is always in the news, and other cool stuff. And maybe, well, I have a feeling that by this time tomorrow, my Euro position will be even less fun than it is today. I have that sense. My instinct tells me I'm going to be crying some more.
I think, however, and I'll make a pledge right here, that at the end of the month, you'll be back in the red.
Or in the red.
Black. In the black.
Great. That's just what I need.
Okay.
Well, I guess that's it for now.